There are two scripture lessons today. The first is from 2 Corinthians 5, 16 to 21, which can be found on page 1799 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Today's second reading comes from Luke 15, 11 to 32. The parable of the lost son can be found on page 1624 and 1625 of your pew Bible. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth and wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the other son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Thanks be to God for his word.
So let me ask you a question. Thinking about what Pastor Tom preached last week, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And the question that comes to my mind is this: is God fair? Does God act fairly, decide fairly? You remember the parable, right? The workers in the vineyard, the guy goes out at 6 a.m. and hires people, and they agree to work for a full day's wage. And every 3 hours throughout the day, he goes back and hires more laborers and more laborers. And at 5 o'clock, goes out and hires a bunch more. And then at 6, an hour later, calls everyone in and lines them up from the one who was hired at 5 all the way down to the end of the line where the person was hired early in the morning. And the first guy in line gets paid a full day's wage. And so does the second and the third and the fourth. Which makes those who are at 6 a.m. hired think, "Man, this is great. Bonus, right? I mean, if the guy who works for 1 hour gets a full day's wage, then if I'm doing my math right, it means that I should get 11 times worth a day's wage because I worked 11 times as long as he did." Only when he gets to the end of the line, the one hired at 6 finds that he gets paid exactly what was promised to him. Which raises our awareness, I think, about what is really fair. And today's parable poses the same question for us. Does the Father do what is right? Does the Father do the fair thing? The parable goes something like this. There's a man, he has 2 sons. The younger son comes to him and says, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." All right. Now, Matt, in his children's sermon, did something interesting with this. The language caught my attention that he used. He said that the father gave the son the share of the inheritance. Well, what is the normal prerequisite for someone getting an inheritance? Death, right? The person who is going to pass on the money is dead first, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you think about your kids for a second, and you think about what it would take to give them a share of the inheritance, and if we're thinking about this in terms of sort of the older son getting a double portion from everyone else, it's sort of like 2/3 of it would go to the older son and 1/3 would go to the younger son. So think about what 1/3 of your net worth would be, and then imagine having to liquidate that to be able to give it to a child of yours. For many of you, it would not be as simple as just writing a check out of one of your bank accounts. It would probably mean having to sell something. It might mean having to sell your house and move into something smaller. It might mean having to sell off vehicles or liquidate retirement funds. You know, who knows what all it would mean. But one thing is for sure, it wouldn't be fun. It's painful. It's painful when you realize that the child that you have raised really only cares about your money, your stuff, but not for you. And that's basically what the younger son is saying, right? Yeah. "I wish you were dead. Give me your money." Nice kid, right? He's probably too old to be placed over the old man's knee. Although the thought probably crossed his mind. But instead, so what does he do? Amazingly, he agrees. He does it. He gives the man his share of the inheritance, his son, his younger son, and the kid goes off to spend wisely, right? To invest and make more money. No, not in this story. What does he do? Goes to Vegas. Goes to Atlantic City. He goes and bets the ponies, right? He plays the slots. He runs around with wild women. He goes dancing. All of those sinful things, right? And he blows every last dime of that inheritance. He has nothing left. And then, what happens when we are running low on funds? Well, disaster strikes. Murphy comes in. There's a famine in the land. And so the guy, he does what he needs to do to try and survive. I'm assuming that he's Jewish, if Jesus is telling this story, which means that the fact that he goes to work for a pig farmer is made even more tense, right? These unclean animals that he's feeding, and he longs to eat the slop that they are eating. Anyone ever been to a pig farm before? Yeah? You want to describe what they eat? Slop, right? It's like the food that your kids eat when they don't eat anything else, right? You throw it all in the mixer and you mash it up. That's right. All the stuff you would throw out ends up going to the pigs. Side note, we go to the store and buy these little food pouches for our twins. And they have great combinations like prune and beet and pear and green bean. It's like, which you would think would be really appetizing, right? And they suck those things down like they are gold. I think they're disgusting, but alas. So he longs to feed himself with what the pigs are eating. But he can't get anything. And finally he comes to his senses and he thinks, my father's servants live better than this. Here's what I'll do. I'll go home. I know I'm not going to be given my sonship back. I'm not going to be welcomed in that way, but the least I can do is beg for a job on Dad's farm, right? I can work for the same pay that they would get. And so he rehearses this speech, right? The speech is, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired hands. And so he begins the long road home. Meanwhile, Dad is sitting out on the porch and he's looking at the horizon line. We can only imagine that he's waiting for something and then he sees it, the thing that he's waiting for. The figure appears on the horizon, the figure of his son. The one who gave him the vulgar hand gesture and left with all the money, coming back. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone wronged me to that degree, let's see how many different ways I can find to make your life terribly miserable. Maybe the tapping foot, right? You can just imagine the whole thing. But not this father. He hikes up his robe and runs to where his son is. Adult men in the ancient Near East do not run. Servants run, women run, heads of household walk. They walk with purpose because they are important. And important people don't run. Important people are run to. But he hikes up that skirt and he runs out to his son and throws his arms around him and doesn't even let him get his full rehearsed speech out before he exclaims to the servants, bring our best robe, put the signet ring on his finger, go kill the fattened calf and call the entire community together because we're having a party. My son has come back. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but he has been found. I love this parable. This parable is such great news for people like you and me who have stumbled along the way in our walk with God. people like you and me who are not perfect. We don't always do everything perfect. And in fact, we make the mistake sometimes, don't we, of valuing the stuff that God gives us more than we value our relationship with God. But thanks be to God that when we turn around and find our way home, we find that God hasn't just been sitting idly by, but that God has been preparing for us to return. Thanks be to God for this amazing grace. And oh, how I wish the parable stopped here. But you see, the man has another son, doesn't he? Who comes in from the fields and finds there's a party going on. And so he asks one of the servants what's going on. He says, oh, it's great news. Your brother, you know, the one who took a third of the estate and ran off and blew it all. Oh, he's come back. And your dad, oh, it was great. Great scene. You know, your dad welcomed him back and put the robe on him and the ring that signifies his place in the family again. And now it's great. Do you smell that? Beef. The fattened calf. It's prime rib and T-bone for all of us. Well, older son, older brother, not so excited. What's the word that Luke uses? Angry. Furious. Sits outside and waits. Refuses to go in to this celebration. Well, the father undoubtedly looks around and seeing that his son, other son, is not there, goes outside and finds him out there. Well, this son, he has a few words for his father. What, are you nuts? This son of yours, who's blown your money on wild women and wild living, is now back and you just throw a party for him? You kill the fattened calf for him? I've been here every day. I've worked hard for you every day. And you never even did so much as give me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But this son comes back and you kill the fattened calf for him? Well, he has a point, doesn't he? Doesn't he? How do you feel right now? I feel like the father is not being fair, right? Because the estate has been chopped up, and a third of it is gone and is not coming back. And now this other son enters in, and he's given his place in the family back. This brother is going to be expected to share something with his younger brother upon the death of the father. And this older brother is not pleased. But in this speech that the older brother says, he betrays something about himself, which is that he cares more about the father's things than he cares about the father. Which sounds familiar, right? It's the same sin as the younger brother. Except the younger brother shows that sin by being very, very bad, and the older brother by being very, very good. See, I think more often than not, we find ourselves in the church in the position of the older brother. Those who have been trying very, very hard to be good, trying to do the right thing, to follow all of the commandments, Jesus tells this parable not to the sinners, but to the Pharisees, teachers of the law, those who make a living by being very, very good and lording it over those who are not experts in the law like they are. Once again, Jesus ends the parable without telling us the ending. Isn't that annoying? It's like the last chapter of the book gets lopped off and we don't know what happens. Does the older brother come to his senses? Is the speech of the father something that is appealing to him? Does he come to his senses and rejoin the party and embrace his younger brother? Or is he the lost son? The question I asked at the very beginning of all of this was, is God fair? Is God fair? Well, the answer to that question might be a shock to you. The answer is no. God is not fair. And thank God, God is not fair. Because if God was fair, then we would get exactly what we deserve. Anyone remember what the Apostle Paul said about the wages of sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. And when we commit this sin of valuing God's stuff more than we value our relationship with God, that is sin at its core. And whether we do it by being very, very bad or doing it by being very, very good, it doesn't really matter because the truth is we do it. And if God was fair, then all of us would be in very, very big, big trouble. So thanks be to God that God does not give us what we deserve, but gives us a true older brother in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who does the right thing by loving us and sacrificing himself for us so that we might have entry back into the family of God with all of the rights and all of the privileges that come with it. Thanks be to God that our Father is like the Father in this story. And so we go forth from this place, living as true children of God. Not loving God for all of the things that we have, but loving God because of who God is for us in our lives. Because of the way that God looks past all of those shortcomings that we have, all of those mistakes that we've made, all of that nasty stuff that is ingrained into us from birth. Sees past all of that. Because of Jesus, looks at us and sees his reflection and puts the finest robe on our shoulders and the ring on our fingers and kills the fatted calf, stake for all in the kingdom of God. And so our job then is to go and treat others in that same way, as those who have been given that same ring, that same robe. Wayward as they may have been, for as long as they may have been, believing that because God is not fair, God has a place at the table for them too. And so we hope that the ending of this parable involves us as the older sons and daughters going back into the party and embracing our fellow brothers and sisters. That's my hope. But the ending, like one of those choose your own adventure books where you used to come to a crossroads and make a choice. And if you chose this option, you turn to this page. And if you choose this option, you go to that page. The ending is yet to be written. So do we go back into the party? Or do we sit outside with our arms crossed and pout? Something for us to think about today as we enter into this season of Lent. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, these stories reveal things about ourselves that are not always so pleasant for us to see. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we don't like it. But Lord, help us to work through that uneasiness. And Lord, by the power of your Spirit, mold us and shape us. Create in us a new creation by the renewing of our minds. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.